The Movement Church is all about passionate people who build authentic relationships to reach limitless potential and serves Orange County, California. For more information, visit us online at theocmovement.com. We hope you enjoy this message from The Movement.
Brand new series called Stronger. I'm stoked about it. Don't miss a week. A series is like a book, and each week we unpack a new chapter. So if you miss chapter 2 and you come for chapter 3, you're in trouble. Let me just start this off with this today. A professor one time teaching on the subject of time pulled a jar with a large open mouth and put it on a table. He began to grab 12 fist-sized rocks and put them inside this jar until it was completely full to the top. And he asked his students, "Is this jar full?" They all said yes. He pulled out some pebbles and began to shake them into the jar, filling in the crevices. And then he grabbed sand. And he pulled it in and dumped it in as fast as he could and shook it up. And then he grabbed water and he filled the jar up to the top until it was overflowing. And he said, "The rocks, if you don't put the rocks in first, the big things in life, you'll never get to them." You've heard this story before. Covey's the one who made it famous. But the rocks represent the big priorities, the big things of life. And if we don't put them first, then the pebble and the sands of life will fill in and look at me in the eyes and consume our world. Consume our world. And as we start off this brand new year with a brand new series talking about getting stronger, we felt the best thing we could do today was talk about first, because firsts matter. This whole series is about the fact that every component in your life either makes you weak or it makes you stronger. And we are, and we, by design, we should be prioritizing what's important to us. But the problem I feel as a pastor, as I believe that too often people who call themselves Christ followers determine what the priorities should be instead of allowing God to do that for them. And so what we'll do is fill a jar with what we consider as big rocks, but really they might be pebbles or sand. And first, let me just tell you, firsts matter. The big rocks are the things we should be living our life for. The big rocks are the things that you and I should exist to accomplish. In fact, Jesus talked about this in Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 through 26. And I'm reading from the Amplified Version. He says this, "Therefore I tell you, stop being perpetually uneasy, anxious, and worried about your life. What you shall eat or what you shall drink, or about your body what you shall put on. Is not life greater in quality than food? And the body far above and more excellent than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into their barns, and yet your heavenly Father keeps feeding them. Are you not worth much more than they?" You see, there are primary and important things in our life, and they're unimportant. And what Jesus is talking about here, he says, stop worrying about the superfluous things. But my fear, my concern is that if we're not careful, we'll unintentionally prioritize things that is not part of God's plan for you and for me. And we'll think we're growing stronger, but all the while, we're actually growing weaker. So what are the big rocks? What are the big rocks? Or more importantly, what should the big rocks be for your life and for mine? What should the big rocks be for you and for me? What is God's intention? And I think a few questions can help us define what these are. I didn't want to fill a jar because I know so many of you have seen this illustration over and over. But man, my hope and my prayer is that in the next 20 minutes that you and I can discover God's design for what should be priorities in our life. And I think a few questions can help us define what the big rocks should be. And the first question, this is worth writing down. If you're not taking notes, start taking notes. The first question is this: what are the things in life that only I can do? What are the things in this life that only I can do? Listen, gentlemen, I know you're an amazing businessman. You're brilliant and you're smart, and there's no one like you, but someday someone will do your job and not you. So your career is not a big rock. How do we know what is the first big rock? Because firsts matter. Firsts matter. And my challenge and my proposal to you is that the first big rock in your life, look me in the eyes, lean in for a minute, should be your relationship with Jesus Christ. Your relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen to what the scripture says. It's found here in Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5 and 6. Lean on, trust in, and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind. And do not rely on your own insight or understanding, but what? In all your ways, know, recognize, and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight the plain of your path. Lean on, trust in, and acknowledge him. Lean not into your own understanding. But I want to challenge you that there is no one that can build your personal relationship with Christ but you. That's something that only you can do, not this preacher up here. And listen, I got to tell you, coming to church will help you, but it is not the extent or the full summation of your relationship with Jesus. In fact, it's more about what you do between Sundays than what happens for you on Sunday. And I fear that for so many, we say our relationship with Christ happens for an hour and 10 minutes at the Movement Church or at any church that you attend. But I want to tell you that there's so much more to who Jesus is than that. Like another question that's worth asking to determine what are the big rocks in my life and what should the priorities be is this: who has God commissioned me to become? Look at me in the eyes for a moment. Who has God commissioned me to become? We are not here merely to suck air, to fill a 401k, to make sure that our kids have a roof over their head, or to strive after a career. We are not here just to live life. Hey, God gave the great commission through his son Jesus, which said, go into all the world, preach the gospel, and make disciples. And guess what? You're a part of that commission. And the way that you're uniquely crafted and designed, it matters. So look at me in the eyes. Who has God called you to become? I fear, my concern is that so many of us don't know what that looks like. Maybe you're here today and you're in your late teens, your early 20s, your mid-30s. Maybe you're far beyond that today. You can still go through life and not recognize who God's called you to become. And that question is worth asking. Who has God called me to become? One of the greatest ways to find that out is through building a relationship with Jesus. I think the second priority, the second rock, should be family. I think the Bible talks about that. Why? What are the things that only you can do? Hey, gentlemen, ladies, look at me. I don't care how rocky your marriage is. You are the only person designed to be married to that guy you're sitting next to you right now. Nobody else. So be the best wife you can possibly be. Hey, you're the only one who can be the parent to your kids right here, right now. That's why I say career cannot be a big rock. Why? It has to be about family. 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 I think another big rock has to be providing or education, depending on where you're at in the season of life. Again, I'm not going to say career because I don't think that's as important to God as it is to you and I. But providing, not just to put a roof over our head, but to provide a home where our kids can come home and feel peace and love and to know what it's like to grow up in a house that's centered around Christ. Maybe you're here today and you don't have kids of your own. Maybe it's education. Or maybe you're here today and your kids are grown and families afar. Or maybe you don't have kids, but hey, listen, you're seated next to a family right now. And I believe that's part of what a priority should be. I think another rock after Jesus and family and providing is purpose. And purpose is one of those that's kind of woven in all of these. But look at me. Who has God called you to become? What is your greater sense of purpose on this earth? Not your career. Listen, for some reason, we feel like our career creates an identity for us. But folks, it doesn't and it can't. What is your purpose? What has God uniquely crafted you to do that no one else can do but you? You may sit here today and think that there's nothing like that in me, but you're wrong. Maybe you just don't know Jesus like I do. These are the big rocks of life: Jesus and family, providing your education, and purpose. If you don't know what your purpose is, man, that's what we exist to do. In fact, my wife and I, literally, we know that our purpose is to awaken people to the destiny that God has for them. If you've never been to the Welcome to Church party, come. We'll help you discover God's purpose for you. You know what's crazy? That we believe that God's purpose for you is wined and intertwined with what the church is doing. It's never just about you being awesome. You are awesome. Most of you. Some of you are not. Most of you are awesome. But it's always about you being awesome, saying, God, I want you to do something with my life so I can help other people discover how awesome you are. If you don't know your purpose, man, we'd love to help you find that this year. But these have got to be the big rocks of life. And I believe another thing should be the world. I believe that if we're not filled with compassion, we should strive towards compassion. That we don't turn a blind eye to the hurting and the hopeless, the orphan, the homeless, the widow, and the prisoner. And I believe not just across the great seas, but here in our own backyard. I believe if we don't have that kind of compassion, even if we have to scrounge up as much as we possibly can find, I believe that we're missing some of the big rocks of life. I mean, can I just tell you, I wouldn't mind stopping preaching now if you could just take home the point of, God, am I focused on finding what your priorities for me are? I think we could even stop with those two questions. What are the things that only I can do? And second, God, who have you commissioned me to become? I believe the challenge isn't so much with the big rocks or the sand, but I believe the challenge happens with the pebbles. I think that it's here that we get lost. I believe that if we don't prioritize in a healthy way, in a biblical way, I believe that this really does become something that consumes the way that we live. And can I just tell you, how do you determine what a pebble in life is? Well, a pebble should advance God's commission for your life. Pebbles should be determined by the rocks in your life and not the other way around. Pebbles should be determined by who's God called me to become. And I'm pursuing him with everything that I have. And so everything else is superfluous unless it fits in to those big priorities that God's given me. That's what the pebbles of life should be. And I feel like all too often we miss it right here. This is where we miss it. We get consumed with these things. And I think that sometimes, let me tell you some of the things that I think a pebble can look like. I believe that pebbles can look like career. Now, please look at me. What I am not saying is don't pursue a career. What I am not saying is don't run after the dreams that God's planted in your heart. But what I am saying is that the career cannot become your priority. Can I tell you that my wife and I, we were raised in a church and in a home where our parents were pastors. And they did a phenomenal job in raising. I'm so grateful for the heritage that I have. But as youth pastors, we had so many pastors' kids come in and through our ministry. And you know the stipulation that is put on a pastor's kid. Like, oh, that's a pastor's kid. Watch out. They're the craziest ones there. He was a son of a preacher, man, right? You know what I'm saying? Well, guess what? God's commissioned my wife and I to become and to be pastors. And I have kids. And I'm going to tell you right now that one of my main objectives is to not let my kids fall into the category of a typical pastor's kid. And can I tell you one of the pitfalls that I've seen through years of ministry? Is that men and women who felt God commissioned them to become pastors placed the role of being a pastor over the role of being a parent. So the children felt abandoned by their parents for the sake and the cause of ministry. I don't care who you are. You're not going to end up okay in that scenario. But look at me. We can do the same thing with our career. You can work hour upon hour upon hour. Fill that 401k. Fill that 401k. Fill that 401k. And guess what? Your kids are growing older. And you're going to miss moments that you'll never get back. Pastor Kerry, you telling me not to work? No. I'm telling you, you got to make sure that the pebbles of life are determined by the big rocks. The problem is most of us aren't intentional about this. And we just live life doing what we're supposed to do. And you know, here's the sad thing. We usually allow the culture that we live in to determine what should be acceptable or not. And not allowing the biblical standards that God's given us to determine that. But if you prioritize your family as number two under your relationship with Jesus, and you realize that, man, I got to provide for my family, but not at the sake of missing out on what God's doing in their life. Are you pastoring your kids? You can't think it's the responsibility of the movement church. We only get them for an hour. If they're jacked up, it's your fault. Yes, it is. I was a youth pastor for 15 years and parents are coming. I've been at this church for 3 years and my kids are messed up and it's your fault. I'm like, dude, I get them for an hour. You've had them their whole life. And you're trying to tell me it's my fault? Start living intentionally. Make sure you prioritize the big rocks and don't make the pebbles boulders when they shouldn't be. Career is never, ever to be a number one priority. Pursue the dreams that God's put in your heart, but never at the sake of the things that are priorities in your life according to the scripture. Never at the sake. Side jobs and business ventures. That's great. Listen, if you feel like it's the time, or you and your wife and you guys get together, we plan, look, for 2 years, we're going to grind it out. But here's our strategy to make sure we don't lose what we have with our family. Or maybe you're a young adult. You just got done with college and I got to spend some more time going after this business venture while working here. That's great, but be intentional about it. Don't let it run your life or it will consume you and you will look back and you will have accomplished a lot. Or actually, you have done a lot but accomplished very little. Business ventures and side jobs, man, they can be distracting pebbles. What else? This y'all are going to get mad at me, but just get ready for it. Welcome to the new year. Parents, let me talk to you for a minute. Extracurricular activities for our kids, especially in freaking Orange County. I'm going to have them in soccer, badminton, lacrosse, horseback riding, football, basketball, and a Yahtzee league all at one time. You don't even know what Monday night through Friday night looks like because you're driving to and from all over the place praying, dear God, let it rain, because Laguna Niguel will shut down if it rains. And they can become boulders that are prioritizing our life and our time. A kid that went to my youth ministry, his name is Michael, he's a good friend of mine now. His parents, over the course of his school career, spent $26,000 on classic or whatever they call it, soccer leagues. His senior year, he made it to the starting keeper, and he quit halfway through the season. Guess what he does for a living today? It's not soccer. Well, they need discipline. Spank them. Get them in a soccer league, but make sure that it's a pebble and not a priority. Are you saying, Pastor Curry, we shouldn't be in leagues? No, I'm not saying that. Relax. Calm down. I'm not trying to crucify you, so don't crucify me. But I'm asking, do you even know? Do you even know what is running your life? Do you? Do you know what is the priority, or are you just doing it because it seems normal and everyone else here does this? Great. If you feel like, man, let's hone in a skill. My son's got a great talent or my daughter's got this. Great, do that. But make sure that you keep the priorities first important. Don't let a pebble become a boulder. Let the pebbles be determined by what the boulders are in your life. Y'all tracking with me? I know you hate me, but just roll with it for a minute. I got no problem with an extracurricular activity, but when an extracurricular drives the person, it becomes a rock and your life is going to be out of balance. I want to introduce to you what I call the Goldilocks principle. Too many pebbles equal a life out of balance. I do a lot, but I accomplish little. We run around, getting things done. Busy. It was fun. It was a full life. But did you accomplish, look at me, what God called you to accomplish? Hey, guess what? Can I talk to you parents for a moment? Your job, until your child leaves, is to help them discover who God's called them to become. Not create the next David Beckham. Right? Are y'all tracking with me? You guys are so angry. Play soccer. I love it. I'll come to your games. No big deal. But make sure it's not the priority. Are y'all with me? Young people, listen. Don't pursue a career. Pursue the God dream for your life. What is it? You know what's so crazy? More often than not, he's woven the intentions and the desires of your heart exactly into a plan where you can make money doing the things that you love and accomplish his purpose for your life. Let that drive you. It matters. Let it drive you. Too many pebbles equals a life out of balance. Too few pebbles in life equals a marginalized life. Well, I just don't want to do much at all. I'm going to sit home. Well, that's lame. Way to marginalize your life. You do a little, but you accomplish nothing. And the right amount of pebbles, defined by the boulders in our life, it equals living on purpose. Do what's important, but accomplish my purpose. Listen to this. Luke 21 says this. But take heed to yourselves and be on your guard, lest your hearts be overburdened and depressed and weighed down with the giddiness and the headache and the nausea of self-indulgence, drunkenness, and worldly worries and cares pertaining to the business of this life. And lest that day come upon you suddenly like a trap or a noose. What's he saying? Is this just a verse about drunkenness? No. Listen, when the scripture refers to drunkenness, it's talking usually about twofold. Number one is being drunk. Number two, it's talking about just indulging in whatever it is that you want to do. So he's saying, watch out and guard your heart. Listen, you got to know, I love to have fun. I love to play sports. I love to dream big. But we have got to be careful to guard our heart to make sure that we are not driven by my own desires and my own priorities, but I'm driven by what God has for me. And if we do that, we live a life that is fulfilled. So he's saying, watch out and guard your heart. Let me tell you a couple of great pebbles, I think. Some great pebbles to have is furthering your education. No matter where you're at. I don't care where you are at in the educational swing. Always say, okay, you know what? I just want to kind of hone in my craft. Megan and I are looking to go back to school this year and do some stuff online. Just why? Because we need the education. Yes! We want to learn, want to grow. Maybe you're like, I got them shifting trades and career paths. Well, man, this is a great time. Pursue it, but make sure that the big rocks are in there first. That's a great pebble to have, but make sure the big rocks are in there first. Honing in a trade or a skill set through extracurricular activities is great. I mean, my oldest daughter, she feels called to help be a part of a church in some way. She doesn't know how. She loves and wants to lead worship. In fact, she said, I would like to be the worship leader for the movement church, but I don't want to get Jeremy kicked out of our church, so I'll wait a little bit. So what do? We get her a guitar. And lessons, helping her learn how to sing. Why? Because she and I and Megan, we feel like this is who God's called her to become. So we use and we bring the pebbles of life in that are dictated by the boulders of our life. Are y'all tracking? Are y'all smelling what I'm cooking? Say, mm-hmm. Awesome. Great questions to ask. Why are these pebbles important? The pebbles of life. Great. Write these down, folks. Why are the pebbles in our life important? Why do we do these? Why? Another question to ask is, who is determining their importance? Is it culture? Is it the need to fit in? Is it because I feel like that's the right thing to do? Or is it because it's who God's called us to become? I look at me in the eyes, lean in. I'm not telling you to stop doing anything. I'm begging you, would you just ask God, what does he want for you? That's all I'm asking. Another question to ask is, are they helping me or us become who God created me or us to become? That's a great question to ask when you're looking for new jobs. It's a great question to ask when you're looking to buy a new home. Or what school to put your children in. Or what to do with your time during the week. Is it helping me to become who God called me to become? Let's talk about the sands for a minute. The sand of life is sexy, right? It is. We actually don't even need to explain it. We don't have to carve out time for sand. We want to carve out time for sand. The sands of life, I feel like I'm doing a commercial for a soap opera. These are the days of our lives. The sands of life are the things you have to ask your spouse if you can go do. Hey, babe, can I go play golf? That means it's the sand of life. Man, these are what makes life fun, and this is what we need, and it's a part, and it can be healthy and beneficial, but look at me, this can't be a priority. The only time this can be a priority in your life is if like you're under the age of 12. After that, you need some help, sir or ma'am, okay? You need to stop. Remember the first time you realized you had to work on your birthday and you're like, what? And everybody's like, shut your mouth. It's your birthday. Happy birthday. Now get back to work. Like, oh, goodness, right? If you're a child, it's okay for the sand to be priorities, right? But listen, if you're over the age of 14, it's time to grow up. It's time to grow up. This cannot be the priority. This is what makes life fun and exciting, and it's great to be a part of your life, but it cannot be the priority. It cannot be the priority. Let me tell you a couple of things that the sand is. Sand is hobbies. The sand is surfing. Unless you're Kelly Slater, and then that's not. That's part of your purpose. But none of you are Kelly Slater, so stop it. The sand is sports. Hey, the sand is fantasy football. You're never going to make it to the NFL because you can Google the right guy's name. Woo-hoo-hoo. Listen, win and then tithe, but that's it. No laugh. That's it? Are you serious? Somebody's got mad. Some wife just elbowed her husband. That's the sands, right? I talked to one guy who was in like six leagues and had like $4,000 riding on. I'm like, bro, that is a bit obsessive. He's in this room. No, I'm kidding. He's not really. Working out can be sand. Are you saying I shouldn't exercise? No, I'm not saying that. But if you're posting selfies shirtless in the gym, then that's sand. And you need to stop it. Right now. If you use the hashtag Gainsbro, A, I'm going to stop following you, and B, it's sand, okay? So be healthy, but don't spend 2.5 hours at the gym, okay? Now, if you feel like God's called you, your purpose is to help bring health and fitness and awareness to people, then great, that makes sense to me. That's part of who God's called you to become, right? That makes sense. I get it. But look, man, working out needs to be a part of helping you stay healthy so you can be a great husband, a great young adult, a great fiance, a great parent, doesn't matter. But that's why we work out. It's the means to an end. Okay, are y'all tracking with me? All right, that can be a sand. Don't let it be the priority. Entertainment, that's the sands of life. It's the sands of life. Listen, I don't think we need to linger on this. My whole point is this. We have to say, Holy Spirit, what do you want me to prioritize? Because firsts matter. Firsts matter. God, it's a new year. It's a new season. It's a new day. It's a new me. We've crossed over the proverbial Jordan, and we stand here looking forward into 2015, and last year was great, or last year was awful, it doesn't matter, but I want something new and bigger and better from you. Who have you called me to become? Who did you design me to be? And that's what I want to prioritize my life this year. Because firsts matter. Firsts matter. Otherwise, we're living unintentionally. And the pebbles and the sand are going to consume our life. And we'll get through with 2015 and have done a lot but accomplished little. And guys, look, we don't have much time. All of us are headed at life speed towards eternity. We've got to make this life count for something. And January is always a chance to come back and to refocus and say, God, am I headed in the direction that you've called me to head? Am I being who you've commissioned me to be? Because firsts matter. Hey, look at me. First, determine direction. When a pilot gets in a plane, before he even takes off, he checks all of his instrument panels. Then he determines, okay, where are we going? Let's set this. Maybe we'll track our course. Let's check the weather, make sure we're headed right. Before he even pulls back from the taxi or the terminal or whatever it's called, and before he gets on the runway, he doesn't take off and then get up to altitude and then go, okay, where are we headed now? Nope, he plots his course first. Why? Because first, determine direction. The first thing you do every morning will determine what happens in your day. Scientific research has already found out that the first 15 to 30 minutes of your day will determine your attitude and your outlook on what the day will be like. First matter. That's why I want to challenge you over the next year and over the next 21 days to start your morning off with 21 minutes of time with Jesus. Wake up, brush your teeth, grab your coffee, read some scripture and pray. First matter. Start your week off at church. Start your week off here. Why? It's a party celebrating what God did in the last week and a pep rally about what's coming up in the next. It's a refocus, a recenter, saying, God, I'm living my life for you and not for myself. Well, that sounds like a smart idea for a guy who runs a church. Yep. It's crazy. I believe in what I'm doing. If you don't like this church, we can help you find one, but start it off in church. Yeah, I want you to come here. Don't get me wrong. first matter. First, determine direction. First, determine what you value. I promise you, you looked in the mirror before you came to church this morning. You checked yourself first to make sure you didn't wreck yourself. Parted your hair, brushed your teeth, sprayed that cologne. Why? Because it shows what you value, and you value you some you. First, determine what you value. Think about what it communicates to your spouse. If on your wedding night, you tell her, hey, I've saved myself, and you're going to be my first. I truly did say no to everyone else because I honor the vows that I made to you. What does that tell your spouse? I value you. First, determine what you value. Our first fruits, it's what we talk about every week, bringing 10%. We return it to God. The first 10%. Is this a sermon about tithing? Yes. Why? Because what I do with the first 10% of my money determines what I value. Try it. 90 days. If it doesn't work for you, then you don't ever have to do it again. First determines what you value. Your first thought before making a decision. Do you go to God and say, man, God, what do you want? Am I headed in the direction that you want for me? God, I love this girl and I want to be with her. Is she who you have for me? Or more importantly, am I who you have for her? God, I got this home and we want to buy it, but is it right? God, we're living our life, but God, how do you want us to start our days and to fill our weeks? First determines what you value. And lastly, first determine destination. First determines destination. Look at me. If you start every morning spending time building your personal relationship with Jesus, if you start your week off worshiping the true and living God, learning more about who He is and how He's called us to live, if you spend every decision that you make first in prayer saying, God, what do you have for me? Where are you taking me? If you live a life that is first centered around and founded upon Jesus Christ and everything else comes second, I'm just going to tell you right now, your destination is going to be amazing. It won't be perfect, but it'll be amazing. I just got to tell you, I grew up in church, but I lived a life of making my own priorities first. Knew all the scriptures, knew all the stories, knew how to look and act in church, and I was a leader in church. But in my heart, I prioritized myself, my own desires. I didn't guard my heart like the scripture said. And guess what? I landed at a destination of destruction. It cost another couple their marriage. Nearly cost me my purpose, my ministry. It was before I got married to my wife, but it nearly cost me that relationship. First determines destination. Can I just tell you? Look at me in the eyes. You don't want destruction. I can write a book about it, and it's not fun. But I can tell you, no matter what you walked through that door like today, no matter if your life was centered upon you and around you before you walked in, if you'll make the shift today to say, Jesus, I'm going to put you first and prioritize what you want me to prioritize, 2015 will look so different. More importantly, the destination of your life will blow your mind. Let me finish this scripture. Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 through 33. Jesus is talking and he says this, "Therefore, do not worry and be anxious saying, where or what are we going to eat? Or what are we going to have to drink? Or what are we going to have to wear? Don't be consumed with the pebbles and the sands of life. For the Gentiles or the heathen wish for and crave and diligently seek all these things. And your heavenly Father knows well that you need them all. But," verse 33, "but seek," what does that word say? "First." Say it again. "First. Aim at and strive after, first of all, his kingdom and his righteousness, his way of doing and being right." That's saying, let him define the priorities. Seek first who he's called you to become. And then all these things taken together will be given you besides. He's saying all the things that you want and you hope for, man, he's got a plan that goes beyond what you can imagine. So just seek him first. Put him first. The components of your life are either contributing to you becoming weaker or stronger. The question is, do we know what God's version of stronger really looks like? Are we defining the priorities of our life? Are we saying, God, you shape and mold and direct my path? This year is going to be about me putting you first. This year is going to be about me becoming who you have commissioned me to become. For 21 days as a church, we're going to do a 21-day challenge starting tomorrow through the last Sunday of the month. And here's our challenge to you. Read, pray, move, and change. I want to challenge you for 21 days to start your day off with 21 minutes with Jesus in the Word and in prayer. And if you don't know how to do that, that's okay. I actually found some reading plans. They're going to put a slide up. You can text this number today. And before the end of the day, I'll text you a reading plan. You open up your phone and it tells you what to read. And there's a little devotional content. I can send you the one. I'm going through that one and another one. I can send you the one that we're going through. They're for two different seasons of life. If you don't know how to pray, it's okay. I'll provide you with a prayer path, what to pray for and how to pray on Monday and then Tuesday and Wednesday. 21 minutes. Look at me in the eyes. You can do 21 minutes to read and pray. I'm going to challenge you for 21 days to spend 21 minutes exercising or moving or being active or doing something. Maybe you already do an hour. That's great to stay consistent. And I want to challenge you for 21 days to pick something to change. Maybe it's a habit. Maybe it's an eating habit. Our teams, we're going to be fasting. We're going to sacrifice and change the way that we're eating. And for 21 days, just spend time devoted to what God's going to do and wants to do in our life. And then on the last day, on Sunday, we're going to party at Pizza Port. You can join us. 21 days. Look at me in the eyes. Read, pray, move, and change. You don't have to do it. But I'm just going to challenge you right now. If you'll take this journey with our whole church, at the end of those 21 days, you will hear God in a way you've never heard him before. You'll have an understanding about him deeper than you've ever seen or experienced in your life. And you'll start this year off saying, God, I'm putting you first. If you want that prayer or that Bible reading plan, just text help or pray or Jesus or whatever to this number. And we'll send that information to you before the end of the day. Look at me. Don't start this year off with the plan or the anticipation of being who you were last year. Let's put him first and let him do something new in our life. Amen? Let me talk to those of you who are here today, maybe for the first time, or maybe you're wavering in your faith. You say, man, I love what you're saying and it makes sense. And I want that. I want a life that's centered around who God's called me to become. But I just feel like there's a gap, a separation, or maybe a ceiling, a cap between me and God. And I just never feel that connection. You know, the Bible talks about that. says that gap is called sin, and it does separate us from God. But that doesn't isolate you. The Bible says that everybody has sinned. I've sinned, you've sinned, we've all sinned. And there's a consequence that's very grave and sobering for sin. It's called death and an eternity in hell. But the Bible offers a radical solution. The gift of God through his son Jesus. He came and lived a sinless life, and he died on the cross to pay the ransom and the payment for your sin and mine. It closes that gap. And it's free. You don't have to be perfect. You don't have to change all of your ways from yesterday. You don't have to have walked in here holy and angelic-like. All you have to do is start by saying, Jesus, I want to be yours. And if you're here and you've never made that declaration of faith, in just a moment, I'm going to pray a prayer. And I'm going to ask you right where you're seated. We're not going to embarrass you or ask you to get out of your seat. But right where you're seated, in your heart, just repeat that prayer after me. And hey, look at me. Some of you have been running from God. And it's time to come back. It's time to start this year off right. You pray that prayer with me. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes? No one looking around. No one moving. We're almost finished. If you're here and you've never made that declaration of faith, today's your day. As I pray, just right in your own heart, would you repeat this after me? And if you've been running from God, today's the day to come back. Just say, Dear God, I know you love me, that you've given me purpose. God, the truth is I've got sin in my life. I'm not perfect. Thank you for sending Jesus for me to pay the ransom for my sin. Would you forgive me? Today, God, I want to put you first. And all over this room, just say the statement. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. In Jesus' name.
Thank you for joining us today. Find out more about us at theocmovement.com, or we'd love to meet you in person this Sunday. Until next time, Orange County.